This
is Mythical.
We're so excited to introduce you to Great Jones. Great Jones makes high-quality, thoughtfully designed cookware that's so stunning you won't want to put it away. From Dutch ovens to ceramic dishes to non-stick sheet pans, they've got you covered.
Heck yeah, they do. Their products come in a variety of amazing colors, from classic black and white to pinks, greens, yellows, and blues. And the best part, Nicole, everything's non-toxic.
Josh, I've been in the market for a kettle for months.
Yeah, I've heard you talk about it a weird amount.
Yeah, I've bought like a bunch, returned a bunch, but I just got my hands on the Great Jones Fellow Kettle collab, and I got it in the color broccoli, and I'm so excited to make artisanal teas and coffees. I'm trying to get on my coffee game right now, and I'm so excited to use a gooseneck kettle. We have no idea.
I'm excited to use their yellow hot dish, aka casserole dish. Shout out to Minnesota and Fargo, North Dakota. I'm at that point in my life where I'm like, I'm an adult, I should have nice vessels to serve food out of.
Sure, fair.
Instead of just serving it on like stainless steel restaurant style things. And I like it. It's cute. It's got a good design. Bakes really well. Holds heat. I'm in, baby. And once you try Great Jones, you'll want to share it with friends. They make stunning gifts that are actually useful. Weddings, housewarming parties, birthdays, it's the perfect gift for the foodie in your life.
So upgrade your kitchen and replace those old, rusted hand-me-downs with bold, beautiful, long-lasting pieces from Great Jones. Get started today at greatjones.com and get an extra 15% off your first order with promo code SANDWICH. That's greatjones.com, promo code SANDWICH.
It's corn, a big lump with knobs.
Oh, I'm sorry. I don't know what you're doing.
It has juice.
I'm sorry. I'm very confused. This is a podcast about corn dogs and beef Wellingtons.
What, you want me to do it like in a British accent, like Gordon Ramsay or something? What do you want from me?
Do you have that in your bag? Do you have the range?
It's corn, a big lump with knobs. It has a juice.
Pretty good.
This is a hot dog is a sandwich.
Ketchup is a smoothie.
Yeah, I put ice in my cereal, so what?
That makes no sense.
A hot dog is a sandwich.
A hot dog is a sandwich.
What? Welcome to our podcast, A Hot Dog is a Sandwich, the show where we take on the world's biggest internet debates. I'm your host, Josh Scherer.
And I'm your host, Nicole Anidi, I guess.
And Nicole.
So much vigor. I wasn't expecting that much vigor.
I came in with both vim and vigor today, and we didn't have any diet Red Bulls in the fridge, and so I'm running off of pure internal vim.
Is vim anger?
I don't know what vim is. Vim is one of those words that we don't use anymore, except when coupled with vigor and only in like an ironic old-timey way.
Vim means energy and enthusiasm.
Well, I feel like that's what vigor means. I feel like vim and vigor is not redundant.
Vigor means physical strength and good health.
Interesting. I am vigorous, if nothing else. Nicole, we have a very special podcast today because...
Oh my gosh, why?
The thing happened. The thing happened what? In nature that sometimes happens where people send us a meme so many times on Instagram that we are forced to respond to it, even though...
Many
we
times.
Vitriolically do not want to.
It's ridiculous.
And this has now happened. So thank you to everybody who bothered us on Twitter, on Instagram, on Reddit threads.
We're here now.
With an infographic that is titled The Wellington Family.
Correct.
And we now need to respond to this. So we'll put it up on the screen for y'all who are watching on YouTube. If you're not watching on YouTube, we will just describe this to you.
Of course.
In painstaking detail. So the author or artist, I believe to be unknown, but they claim that there is a Wellington family out there. And first up, you have the beef Wellington, which is the grandfather of the Wellington family, invented in roughly, they claim, 1885.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have, say, pigs in a blanket, which is part of the Wellington family. It is the cool uncle slash aunt of the Wellington family. And then you have Pop-Tarts, which is the vegetarian of the Wellington family, Nicole. And then you have Hot Pockets, which are the hipster of the Wellington family. And then, finally, we have corn dogs, the black sheep of the Wellington family, typically seen at children's parties trying to fit in, might be a serial killer, invented in 1946, according to this infographic. So, today we must answer... Are corn dogs a beef Wellington?
So is this like, we're like basically, is it called genealogists? Are we genealogists today? Are we like...
Or like taxonomists?
Are we
I guess if this is a family tree, yeah. This is a genealogical...
So we're doctors chart. Today.
We're basically doctors. Our parents can finally be proud, which means my parents are alive again, which is great.
No, they're dead. I'm sorry.
They're so dead.
Mine are going to be proud of both of us, though.
That's great. Yeah, I love it. Thank you to Morris and Chella. Corn dog... Okay, we have to break down what a beef Wellington is. Do you have any thoughts initially like on whether a corn dog is or is not a beef Wellington?
Well, if this was Nicole from 200 podcasts before, she would say, absolutely not. Like, that's crazy. But now my mind's been opened up to so many possibilities.
We're like...
So so many decisions I can make.
If we were like members of a hard progressive rock band in 1963, if we're like a Robbie Krieger of the Doors, say, right? They just did so many substances throughout their peak years.
Okay.
Right? That 20 years after, their brains are just all turned to mush and they have just fully opened to the world. And
like
they're
Ozzy
just like,
Osbourne.
It's whatever, man. We're like Ozzy. Yeah. Exactly. That's like us now, 3 years into this podcast. We're just like, is anything? Is
Maggie's
the Sun
German.
Raisin brand? Maggie's food. All I see is food. This camera, the cameras are food. This podcast. I can eat this microphone. It's cotton candy. Why is this not cotton candy?
Oh, man.
There is some weird validity to this.
Yes.
There's some weird validity to it.
I agree.
And to get
to the bottom of it.
To get to the bottom of it, we have to talk about what exactly a beef Wellington is. So describe to people like the cooking process behind a beef Wellington, what it actually is.
Well, when I think of beef Wellington, so you take a big fillet of beef.
A fillet of beef.
Yeah, so basically it's a tenderloin and then you cut off a manageable piece. I like to think of it like it can be anywhere from the size of your hand to the size of like honestly your forearm. And then you sear it. And then once you sear it, you put a bunch of mustard on it. And then you make a what is it called when you chop up the mushrooms?
Duxelle.
You make a really fine mushroom duxelle, which is just a bunch of chopped up mushrooms.
It's a mushroom mush.
Yeah, you just cook down into like a mush. And then you can use like some wine to like deglaze or whatever. And then you take prosciutto and then you take puff pastry. Some people use ham, I think. Is that false?
I don't know. But prosciutto wouldn't make sense because it's Italian. This dish was invented like in 1815. I don't know, like a ham, right? Like,
okay.
I don't know.
So maybe some sort of ham, some sort of
maybe
pork.
People didn't use ham back in the day. Maybe that wasn't even traditional.
Maybe
it's just
sort of pork product.
Prosciutto is like a neologism.
Possibly. Okay. And then you would wrap it and then you would bake it and then you would slice it and hopefully you would have a nice medium rare center.
Yeah.
And then serve it with a nice little sauce of sorts, a beef sauce.
It's a very fussy dish.
So fussy.
Which is like one of the reasons people have made it into a celebratory dish, right?
Fancy
especially in America.
Food.
Fancy yeah. people. If one of the only times I've had like homemade beef Wellington, it was when I was with my ex and we flew to her like weirdly posh family who lived in like upstate New York in a very not posh area, but one was dating a very posh man from like Australia.
Interesting.
And he was even so posh that he was a vegan, but he wanted all the posh people to feel posh. So we made everybody beef Wellington. And actually, Andrew, if you're listening, you did really well. And it was a very well done beef Wellington. But that was like the first time I'd ever had it like cooked at home and not at a restaurant that was trying to do something very fancy. According to legend, this is another one of those food legends that is probably not true, but it follows so many of the similar legends,
sure.
even down to like the michelada or mayonnaise, right? They say it was to celebrate the winning of a battle. And so this was the...
Oh, okay.
This was, yeah, according to the fact sheet, 1815, it was in celebration of the first Duke of Wellington, Arthur Wellesley, and his victory at the Battle of Waterloo,
cool.
I believe against the French on June 18th, 1815. And so they, you know, won the battle, went to a chef, went, ah, make me something to commemorate this. And then all the chef did was he made a French dish that already existed called filet de bœuf en croûte, or filet of beef en croûte, which means wrapped in typically like a puff pastry.
Yeah, we made a lot of, what did we make? We made a lot of head cheese en croûte or some sort of like...
Why?
Why
head cheese en croûte?
Head cheese en croûte, or it was like... It
Do
was
people
like,
know what head cheese is? You should tell people what head cheese
it's just,
is.
It's just a bunch of like... So basically, it's gelatinized pork parts.
And the gelatin comes from boiling a whole pork head.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Basically, it's like sauce. Have you ever had sauce from Haiti? Sauce?
No, I never had...
I think it's pronounced sauce. I don't know. So basically, you take a whole pig's head, and then you have like all the little pig bits in there, and it's like a very, very delicious cold serving of like soup. But whenever you gelatinize it, you can cut it into like little like blocks. Like
yeah,
you
slice it cheese.
Hence the name head cheese. Cheese made from a head.
Yeah.
But it's not cheese.
I've mostly eaten a lot of Vietnamese head cheese, which is like very heavy on the gelatin. And you put it in like banh mi. But I have had some like really good head cheese. I had this one. I had a head cheese en croûte dish. You're right. But it was fried.
What?
It was a fried. I had a fried head cheese dish once.
Oh, cool.
The point is when we talk about Wellingtons.
Sorry. We got distracted again being food people. Happens.
Brain don't work too good no more. Brain mush like Robbie Krieger. We have broken through the doors of perception.
Pâté en croûte. That's what it was called.
Pâté en croûte.
That's what it was called in school. And then you would like, you would literally, it was so much fun. You would first bake the croûte and then partially, and then you would
croûte
fill
means
it with
crust, by the way.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
like what croûte means.
And then you would fill it with stuff and then you would bake it again and then you would fill it with gelatin again. It was so involved.
Oh, yeah.
All of these en croûte things, so involved.
No, they're super hard to make, and it makes sense that a lot of this stuff would have come from, like, Western Europe in this age where you had all these royals and these demi-royals who had chefs and stuff, right? Like
demi-royals?
I don't know. What do they call it?
Like demigods?
Like, the minor. There's also, like, oh, I'm the Duke of Lily Sussex, and I do my silly little dance. You know what I mean?
Lily Sussex.
I don't know. They have all these little dukes and duchesses and, like, frog towns and whatever.
Princes and the
pulpas. Yeah, I don't know what the hell they are, dude. down with the monarchy. There is no king except King Lud. That's what the hell I believe, Nicole.
do I need to Google that for
no,
later?
Down with all kings except King Lud.
Who's
it was
king
a rallying
Lud?
Cry of the Luddite movement, which was not really just an anti-technological movement, but more of a pro-labor movement, if anything. Neither here nor there. What I'm saying is, a beef Wellington, when you talk about the Wellington family, it's not the Wellington family. You need to go up a step. You need to travel from, like, the kingdom to the phylum or whichever one's bigger.
Okay.
You need to go bigger.
Okay.
Right, from Wellington. Because Wellington is just, it's filet en croûte, right? It's just en croûte.
Yes.
En croûte literally means in crust. A pie is something that is in a crust, right? That is a common thing. You would wrap any sort of meat in crust and bake it. That is called a pie. Or an empanada. Empanar means to wrap in bread.
Mm-hmm.
That's what the hell we're talking about here. We're talking about empanadas. We're talking about
empanada,
pies.
Empanada, pan, bread. Yeah. You...
So M, think about N meaning like to like enrobe, to envelop, to do an action
to. Josh, you just blew my mind.
Empanar means to wrap in bread, right? It literally means to like to breadify.
Oh my God.
Empanar,
panada.
Right?
Empanada. Oh my gosh.
That's what I'm saying though. So a beef Wellington, it's just an empanada. It's a pie.
Okay.
That's what we're talking about here.
Out of respect for you, I've pulled up the taxonomy classification.
Yes, yes, yes.
So it's domain. Kingdom.
Wait, what's a domain? Like, what domain are we?
Can I just do what I was going to do before you interrupt
I'm sorry,
me? Okay, so domain, kingdom, phylum, class, order, family, genus, species.
Get the hell. Okay, let's see how smart Nicole and I are.
yay.
Species. Homo erectus.
Homo sapien.
Homo sapien.
We are Homo sapiens. Homo erectus is our cousin, and then Homo habilis is also our cousin.
I was literally just like, well, I'm pretty erect, like upright, like I'm like I walk. It's not like that. But okay, we're Homo sapiens, and then what's above that? What's the genus or whatever?
Of humans?
Primate.
Okay.
Maggie, can you look up all the answers to this to know how dumb we are?
Okay.
We're primates, right?
Okay, Homo.
Well, okay, so, oh, Homo sapien, yeah, then we're just homos. Okay. And then after that, We're I'm gonna go primate.
Human order? No.
Or is it mammal? No, okay. We're primates.
Human taxonomy. Just press human taxonomy really quick.
And then after primates, we're mammals because we.
Okay, here we got it. We got it.
Because
okay,
we don't lay
eggs. Okay, we are genus Homo. We are family. Family homonyme.
No.
Hominidae.
We're at homonyms.
Josh?
Suborder Hepatines. Order, okay, so we're primates, and then we're mammals, and then we're chordata, which means we have a spine.
And then we're
animals.
And then we're when I think domain has to do with...
like godaddy.com, you can get your domain name.
It has to do with cell structure, so like prokaryotes versus eukaryotes.
Oh, no.
Yeah, so I believe we are eukaryotes.
I am the Eucharist. What we're saying.
I hate this podcast.
You got it. I love this podcast so much. You got to go up to like the genus or whatever. I didn't learn anything from what we just went through.
What the heck,
And the genus is pie, right? And then the class, the phylum, whatever. The thing above Wellington, that it's an umbrella. It's pie. And then beef Wellington is a specific type of pie in the same way.
Beef Wellington is a pie.
Correct. It's an empanada. It's something wrapped in crust. It's something wrapped in crust and then baked.
Okay, I'll hear you out.
Right? And then cooked. Okay. Or not even baked, because you can fry a pie, certainly, and that's still a pie.
Yes.
So a McDonald's apple pie.
Hand pie.
A hand pie.
Okay.
Right? So a McDonald's apple pie is in the same species genus.
Okay.
As a beef Wellington.
Okay.
Right? We can agree on that?
I can agree with that.
But now the corn dog throws us for a bit of a loop, because I agree that a Hot Pocket is also a pie. Right, it's not
a
sandwich.
It's a hand pie.
It's a hand pie, right? So we're looking at this thing. I believe a pig in a blanket is also a pie.
See, I can't.
Why?
I can't.
It's a hand pie. Josh, why is it not a pie?
I just can't.
What is it?
I don't know.
Well, don't tell me. You have to tell
me. I'm not ready yet.
Because it's the same thing. Nicole, it is the same thing as a beef Wellington, a pig in a blanket. I understand that it's not necessarily enclosed all the way, but neither is like an open tart, and that's still probably a pie, right?
So it's like the it's like what's that thing in your stomach that's not a baby yet?
a zygote.
It's like a zygote. It's like
Maggie. Did I know science? Maggie does computer science. That's science. What's a zygote?
This is
you can hit zygote or zygotes on triple word score in Scrabble, get that 50-point bump.
Wow.
Especially if you hit Z on like a double letter hitting on the triple word. That's huge.
So I think pigs in a blanket is like the zygote of the family.
Yeah, but then that means it's still within
same
species. Fair. We can agree with that.
What I don't agree with in this Pop-Tart shouldn't even exist. It should be a toaster strudel.
Well, I think they're the same. I think a Pop-Tart...
They are not the same,
I think they're
Josh.
Of the same species.
Have we done that podcast
phylum.
Yet? Have
Pop-Tarts
done,
versus toaster strudels?
Have we done that yet?
Surely we have.
If Surely we haven't we done have. That before... Sorry we're leaning on you so much, Maggie. We just really want you to feel included and like loved and like feel like, you know, you're part of the... Okay, so we need to do that next week.
Yeah.
Or something.
Yeah, toaster strudels. Okay, toaster strudels are way better. Well...
Mm. We'll talk about it on the pod.
But they're the same thing if you... Oh, we did our Pop-Tarts ravioli, yeah.
Yeah, but that's
well, we got into the etymology of like ravolgere. It's the same thing. Ravolgere means just to wrap in
Is ravioli also in this too now?
No, because I believe dumplings are
different
than a pie.
Okay.
Right?
Well, how can you say that if you think a pig's in a blanket? Isn't that just like a dumpling?
No, I think a dumpling... No, because you can have leavened dough dumplings. Dumplings are also a pie.
But okay, corn dogs. Can I just say I might be in like the minority, but I hate corn dogs.
Yeah, let's talk about corn dogs too.
I despise corn dogs.
I 99 times out of 100 would rather have a hot dog in a nice bun.
Yes,
than
yes,
a corn dog.
Yes. Even a bad bun, I don't care.
Same. However, there are some corn dogs, and there's only one corn dog that I'm really thinking of, and that is Disneyland's corn dog.
Oh,
it's hand battered in front of you. It is gigantic. It is the hardest shattering crisp and crunch.
Uh-huh.
And it is a deep, dense crunch on this corn dog that I really, really love. The hot dog itself is really well spiced. My biggest problem with corn dogs is that you're taking a somewhat sweet batter, right? The cornmeal is very sweet.
Very, very sweet.
And hot dogs to me don't have the spice to match up to a sweetness.
Hmm.
Right?
You put
relish and ketchup. That's sweet on a hot dog, but those still have, to me, salt.
Well, I've had the pickle dog, actually. The day that I got my marriage license is the day that David and I went to Disney, downtown Disney, not real Disneyland, to celebrate. And we had a pickle dog to celebrate our union, and it was good.
Tell people about the pickle dog, right? That's a term that most people don't use.
The pickle dog is a Disney exclusive. It's where you take a hot dog and you shove it in a pickle, and then you take all that and you deep fry it with that corn dog batter, and then there's a little bit of like crusty stuff on the outside, and then they give you peanut butter on the side.
Jesus Christ, was it actually good?
It was okay. It was good. The pickle juice was really hot, and it burned my mouth, and it got down to my elbows, and it really burned me. But whatever. But no, like that, I like more than a regular corn dog.
Yeah,
I think it's because what you're saying is there's not enough flavor, but with the hot pickle juice, that's a little bit sweet, a little bit acidic, mm-hmm. a little bit of everything, salty. It like makes sense.
Yeah.
But a standalone, I can't do. I can't do.
But if you were to create like, so for me, the ideal situation of a corn dog would be to take a hot link. Like we're talking about like a Texas Red Hot.
Okay.
You know,
that
and then take
good.
That. But not only like my ideal, if you take like a full, say like a bratwurst, like a thick coarse ground sausage with a natural animal casing on it,
mm-hmm.
and were to cook that and then deep fry it on a stick, it'd be too much. The casing would be obstructive.
It wouldn't serve its purpose.
So what you would need to do is you would need to take a Texas Red Hot mix and you would need to put that into a smaller synthetic casing and then just make an incredibly spiced hot dog to then match up to the sweetness of the corn dog batter.
Okay.
To me, that's the only way this works.
I don't think it works anyway. I think cornbread should be cornbread and should be treated with respect.
Interesting.
I don't like the combination of it at all, unless it has pickles in it.
Maybe the problem is just that, because, okay, I made a corn dog-esque thing that was really good in here once. Do you remember what it was?
The Kamja hot dog?
No, we did the Korean corn dogs are fun, but Korean corn dogs
aren't even corn.
It's actually a yeasted dough, which
and
makes more sense.
That I love.
That's very good.
The Korean corn dogs, they have it down to science and it's done perfectly. That is the most perfect hot dog on a stick execution. Yeah.
I did a thing where it was our Bisquick battle. I made these like mini corn dog. They were like hush puppies, but I put crab and a bunch of scallion.
That was
Old
so
Bay.
Long ago.
I know, we were babes back then. That was still one of the better things that I think we've made. In
oh
here.
My god, what was that? Two and a half.
It was probably
damn
near. It was probably about 3 years ago
wow,
at this point.
It feels like yesterday, but also like a million years ago.
I remember because I took the cornmeal and I didn't make it sweet. There's no reason that it has to be sweet, right? Mm-hmm. Took the cornmeal, made it super savory with a bunch of like scallion and crab meat,
I remember
which is really
that.
Dumb.
Yeah.
And then made that a wet batter and then put little smokies, which are very heavily spiced.
Yeah, that was.
That deep fried it. That's really good. So corn dogs don't have to be bad. And again, I'll like eat a corn dog gladly. You know, I just like most of them that we eat are bad. You get the pre-frozen ones.
Yeah, that's,
they're
that's,
the bottom tier of frozen. I'd rather have almost
like
any
that,
other frozen
that's
appetizer.
The, like, see, where else are people getting? Do people go to the state fair all the time?
Dude, yeah. Okay, there's literally a show right now. What the hell is it on? It was on my Hulu, but I don't know what network produced it.
Okay,
but it was about like. You know, they have like Storage Wars and I don't know, coming off all that Dog the Bounty Hunter, Michigas. They have that, but for like state fair stands at the Texas State Fair.
Oh,
some
cool.
Places do like $3 million in business in like a month span.
I know, but I'm talking about the average person. How often does the average person eat a corn dog?
It doesn't matter how often. It exists and they're moving product at the fairs. That's
but,
all
but
I can
I say,
that's all that matters.
I will say in America, people probably eat more corn dogs than they do beef Wellingtons.
Oh, yeah. No, you're absolutely correct.
Like in America,
yeah.
That makes sense.
I mean,
sense.
Yeah. How often do we eat beef Wellington?
Again.
Especially outside of the show. We made it for the show recently, and it was just like,
it was
fun, and it was good.
It was good. It was just a labor of love.
But yeah, I'm probably eating a Wellington once every 5 years.
Yeah, that's true.
You know?
That's true.
And even then, I'd probably rather just have like a good, well-cooked steak.
Yeah.
And you're like a prime rib.
Fair.
You know what I mean?
Fair.
Is your child struggling with a specific subject or need help with homework? Are they asking questions that you're not sure you can fully answer? IXL Learning is an online learning program for kids. It covers math, language arts, science, and social studies. IXL is designed. This program will improve your kids' grades. Studies done in almost every state in the country, the kids who had IXL are consistently doing better. Powered by advanced algorithms, IXL gives the right help to each kid no matter the age or personality. And it doesn't have to eat up all your time. One subscription gets you everything for all the kids in your home, pre-K to 12th grade. So don't miss out. 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 95 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXL.com/audio. Visit IXL.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
So we're talking about aberrations here, but the point is we have to talk about it. So do you think a corn dog could reasonably be considered a pie?
Because I don't wanna.
We look at beef Wellington, pigs in a blanket, Pop-Tart, Hot Pocket. Those all have something in common, which is a pre-cooked filling wrapped in dough and baked.
But this one has a stick. The stick is a complete outlier.
Not only the stick, it's a wet batter and it's fried.
That's true. Yeah. Right? There's so many things. There's so many things.
I think the wet batter makes it completely unique from a beef Wellington.
Corn dogs adopted.
Corn dogs are adopted, right? Which doesn't mean that you love them any less.
Of course not. Well,
you know
I do
I mean?
Because I just don't like them.
Oh, but, I thought you meant adopted kids.
Oh, no, I love... Oh, my,
oh my
gosh.
God.
I love adopted kids.
More than bio kids?
I just love
that's
kids.
Weird.
I just love children in general.
I hate all children equally. Just,
oh, my
you're
gosh,
you're all covered
no.
in snot, and you're coming up and trying to touch me. Like, why do you pull on the legs of my pants?
One time...
Don't do that.
One time I was at the farm for my birthday, and David and I were kissing, and then a little kid came up to us and said... You guys are gross. So that made me hate kids a little bit, but no, I love kids. I think the corn dog is adopted and has been welcomed into the family of beef Wellingtons. No, you don't agree? Wait.
I have an upsetting opinion.
I'm ready.
The corn dog is a tamal.
F off.
What? No. Hold on. Think about it.
You need to F off.
It's like a loose corn-based batter. That's cooked around a central filling. Am I crazy here?
Yeah.
A corn dog shares so many more similarities to a tamal than a Wellington.
I disagree. I think the corn dog is more related to fried catfish than it is to tamale.
I like how I looked at the graphic to see what a corn dog is. Fried catfish, what is that?
You gotta admit, fried catfish in a cornmeal batter...
is more closely related to the corn dog.
But fried catfish isn't typically made with like a wet cornmeal batter, right? Fried catfish.
Doesn't matter.
What do you mean doesn't matter? You're wet, dry dredging it in dry cornmeal.
Josh,
this is like a prepared.
Josh, Josh, imagine you have you're sitting at a booth. You have a corn dog in the middle. You have fried catfish on the right. You got tamale on the left.
It's the world's worst restaurant. They're bleeding cash. They're like, well, our tamale, corn dog, and catfish concept is a surefire hit.
And then you tell the average person to say, put the thing in the middle next to the thing that it is most closely related to. Do you really think people would put it next to a tamale?
Alexis de Tocqueville spoke of tyranny. No, he's like a political philosopher from like the
1700s. Oh, of course I know who that is.
Alexis de Tocqueville referenced the tyranny of the majority, right? And that they're susceptible to demagoguery. Basically, the average person.
Are you calling me a demagogue?
Basically, yes, that's a terrible rhetorical
question. Basically, you're the demagogue.
The average person is too stupid to govern themselves, so they need somebody smarter to be able to govern them. And that's how it sort of represents.
And is that you?
Yes, Nicole. We are cultural arbiters. Like, despite the odds, we have like 160 episodes of a podcast that garner a lot of people listen to us as authorities.
What happens whenever, what did you call us?
Demagogues?
No, the other thing.
Corn dogs?
No. You call us cultural arbiters?
Cultural arbiters,
what happens
yeah.
when the cultural arbiters can't see eye to eye? Then what do the people do? What do you do at home?
Well, I mean, it happens a lot. Ebert and Roper.
Siskel and Ebert.
Siskel, are they all dead?
Yeah, I think so.
One of them has like jaw cancer.
That was Roper.
Are you sure? No, I feel like it was Ebert. There's Siskel. Siskel's dead. Maggie, Siskel's dead. Siskel's dead.
And Ebert.
Ebert's dead?
But Robert.
What about Roper?
You see, Robert is dead?
Damn, Siskel. Okay, so sometimes. And we've been living fine. They're all dead? No, that's a different person. Well, okay, point is. Sometimes.
What happens whenever the authorities don't agree? Then what do we just.
No, you write a dissent.
No, do we just like separate and then go in our different ways?
No, it's important. So, like, Supreme Court, right? You can write a dissenting opinion. Isn't that how it works? Like, when like the Supreme Court really bungles something and one of the justices feels that they really bungled it, they just like write a strongly worded letter. They write a dissenting opinion. We can each write a dissenting opinion here.
Roper's
alive. Oh, great. Roper, come on the show. Okay. Siskel and Ebert are both dead, though, huh?
Yes.
That was like when I found out that the drummer for Rush, Neil Peart, died.
What celebrity death made you cry the hardest?
I've never cried at a celebrity death, but really? The one that hit me really hard, the only one that hit me really hard was Anthony Bourdain.
For me, it was Jack Ritter. Is that his name?
John Ritter. Wow, you're really emotionally connected.
John Ritter from Three's Company?
Yeah.
Cried my eyes out.
Why? I mean, you're entitled to your emotions.
Come on, knock on our door.
Did you watch a lot of Three's Company?
Yeah, of course. I grew up watching Three's Company. Did you
know? No, I don't. Maggie, did you grow up watching Three's Company with John Ritter?
Dude, I don't know. My parents wanted me to connect to like the olden times they were a part of. I don't know. Corn dogs.
We should
not
talk about
beef Wellingtons. They are not related. They are adopted, but they have been welcomed into the family because it is right to be inclusive and to love everyone equally.
Hear me out.
What?
No, that's a pipe dream. Nobody loves their kids equally. When I have kids, I'm absolutely going to have a favorite. Am I ever going to tell them they're my favorite?
Oh my God.
Like, are you kidding me? Who do your parents like more? You or your brother? You know.
Oh my gosh, totally my sister.
Oh, well, they like your sister more? But yeah. That's what I'm saying. They had a favorite. It was very clear. I was the favorite of my parents. The point is that you're living in a pipe dream. You're living in a world that is never actually going to come to fruition.
Well, Josh, this isn't real. This is just a graphic.
It has been manifest real. It's like the way that I don't know if there is an actual deity called God, but I know that every time I sneeze, I say, God bless you. And so that makes it real, right?
God bless you?
I don't say God. There's a silent God bless you. Or I say God willing. I say Inshallah. Inshallah, right? That means that I have presupposed God's existence in some way because I have made manifest via my sort of thoughts and actions.
Okay.
I think that's the same thing with this. It has now been put out into the world that there is something called the Wellington family and there are aunts and uncles in it. And so now we need to parse through it.
So corn dog is
the black sheep of the Wellington family.
Yeah.
It's the black sheep because it's adopted and it was made to feel as if it was a black sheep.
Yeah, you know, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, the whole Wellington family, they're all, you know, blonde hair, blue-green eyes, corn dog coming in. They're, you know, got jet black hair, brown eyes, wondering what the hell happened. You know, so there are phenotypic differences between a corn dog and a Wellington.
But we still welcome them.
We still welcome them.
Because they deserve to feel welcomed.
We love them.
And they're delicious in their
own
right.
You hate them.
Not my favorite. Not my favorite.
Yeah.
But that's okay.
You don't like them and you don't love them, but you will treat them with respect.
Always.
That sounds terrible.
What do you want me to say?
I don't know. This analogy is awful.
I don't like corn dogs.
Do I have to like
them because they're part of a certain family? Do I have to allow myself to be less than just so I can be inclusive? I don't know. What do you want me to say right now, Josh?
What's like a worse product in the freezer aisle than a corn dog?
Taquitos.
You think taquitos? Dude, frozen taquitos are great.
What?
I mean, they're not like good, but it's like it's just a toasted corn tortilla filled with like a spiced goo that you can dip in other sauces.
I don't care for taquitos.
You would rather, no, get the hell out of here. You would rather have like a Foster Farms turkey corn dog.
Oh my gosh, I would rather have a taquito in here than a
Jose Olay taquito.
I would rather have a taquito be in this graphic.
Oh, taquito's a much better.
Right?
A much better Wellington than a corn dog.
A taquito belongs there in a corn dog. A corn dog can come to the party.
Sure. But like the taquito is like, the son that sort of the biological son that like disowned the family.
Fair.
And,
okay.
And, like, went
okay.
off to, you know,
deal.
They like taught English in Korea for 3-4 years.
You know,
they sort of came back and they were like, yeah. Hey, I realized that family's really important to me. I was very lonely out there by myself.
So that's corn
dogs?
I
feel like I did some soul. No, that's taquitos.
Oh, that's taquitos.
Because taquito is a Wellington. A taquito is an empanada. Like,
it's not sealed off, but.
No, but
it still serves its purpose.
I actually, God, what I was watching a cooking show, and there was a Mexican chef, and they made an empanada, but they were making a Oaxacan empanada. Would you ever had a Oaxacan empanada?
Yes,
One of my favorite dishes.
Yes, I have.
Wait, do you have it at Monte Alban?
Monte Alban. Yeah.
Hell yes. Yeah. Underrated Oaxacan restaurant on the west side
of
LA.
Good. So good.
They had a empanada with mole amarillo, the yellow mole.
It's good.
And it's not like an Argentinian empanada that we would think of where it's like a crust that is baked, but it's just a big handmade corn tortilla, freaking delicious. And they just put a lot of just stewed chicken with yellow mole and they just flap it over and kind of mash it a little bit. And it all kind of steams together.
It's really good.
And you just grab it and eat it. But that's an empanada because it is
a Wellington.
I was going to say wrapped in bread, empanada, right?
Okay.
It's like, it's the same thing. It's a pie. It's all, you know, it's an open-faced pie, Nicole. That's what we're talking about here. And corn dogs simply don't fit the bill. It's a wet batter that's fried.
It's not the same.
It's a tamale.
It's not the same. It's not a tamale either, Josh.
If you were to take corn dog batter, let it sit. Maybe make it a little bit less
liquidy. What if you were making tamales and then someone threw a hot dog in the middle of a tamale? You would punch them in the face.
Dude, that absolutely exists. There are definitely.
Okay, so you mean to tell me there's tamale de weenie?
Absolutely, dude. Absolutely, people have made this. I'm looking it up to see if anybody's made this. I don't know if they have, but in the history of the world, somebody has to have put hot dogs in tamales, right?
Maybe Spam.
Maybe Spam. But it doesn't matter. Like a tamale is it's a vessel. And also a tamale should maybe be the word tamale. You know, like the word tamale, like that's just like a very weird, this is a super pretentious Giada De Laurentiis ass thing.
I don't know.
But the word tamale like doesn't exist.
It's just tamal.
It's tamal because then the plural is like tamales and the singular is tamal. But then in American adoption of the word, somehow tamale became like the thing. And also they're like very American, like red hot tamales are like really popular in like the Southern Delta.
I do like hot tamales.
Yeah, same.
So what's the consensus today?
If you were to take corn dog batter.
Okay.
Make it a little bit less liquidy.
Okay.
Or even just let it sit. Let it hydrate for a while. Let the corn soak up and do its thing.
Mm-hmm.
Put that in a corn husk and steam it.
Okay.
Is it not like a tamal dulce? It's not nixtamalized corn. I get it. It's made of corn. It's made of field corn. It's made of maize.
Thank you so much for watching.
Right? But then if you take a hot dog.
We'll talk about this when
you
the cameras
stack 15
turn
hot dogs together.
I don't think, let me tell you, I don't think we're going to solve this.
You wrap
Josh,
it in phyllo dough.
Josh.
I call it hot dog clava.
I don't think we're going to come up with a consensus today. But we have definitely set the groundwork for some other people out there to discuss if a corn dog is a beef Wellington. And that's the most important thing, Josh. We are shaping people's futures. We are creating discourse for those that cannot. And I think that's really important.
Calzone.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
All right, Nicole, we've heard what you and I have to say. Now it's time to find out what they're getting right out there in the universe. It's time for a segment we call
Opinions Are Like Casseroles, I guess. I'm shy.
And before... Nicole, stop doing that. It's creeping me out.
Why? What is? What?
I don't know. There's something so weird about this that makes me throw up. It's like those NPC streamers who just go like, You know what I mean? It's
weird
me out.
Why is me putting my fingers like in
it's
a pointy?
It's just got the same energy. Hey,
why
before,
is my ubu fingers a problem?
Before we get to your opinions of like casseroles, we're doing a new little segment that we're calling Review or Review. We're going to give a review for one of the many five-star reviews that we have on Apple Podcasts. And if you want to be one of the many people who have given us five-star reviews, many people are saying, that's all. Many people say that we're the best podcast out there. And so they give us five-star reviews. And so if you want to be one of those many people, you can do it. And if you don't, give us a five-star review.
Yeah, stroke our egos. And then we'll congratulate you for stroking our egos.
Does it do anything material for us?
Absolutely.
Do we get more money? Do we get more advertisers?
I don't believe so.
We need it.
But hey,
we need it for in
segment.
Here.
It's an extra 2 minutes to just talk. And I know how valuable those 2 minutes can be.
For in here. We need it. So this is Knight's Alchemy titled Fun. I don't personally know much about food, but it's still enjoyable and I learn a lot. I think. Knight's Alchemy. I'm going to give you a 4.5 out of 5 stars for this review.
Yeah.
One.
And be sure to rate and review this podcast on Spotify or Apple Podcasts and Apple Podcasts. And leave us a comment on YouTube about what you want to hear us debate next.
Because I love that they gave us 5 stars. What I don't like is they seem unsure of themselves. They say they think they learn a lot and they don't know much about food.
I'm really thirsty. Can I have some of your drink?
Yeah.
Thank you. Sorry. I like finished all my drink and I'm like dying.
You're about to launch into a weird advertisement. I was very confused.
I was just thirsty.
Okay. Hey, buy one of our mugs. We don't sell them. We don't sell them. But buy them from us. Just send me an offer. It says, don't talk to me until I've had my hot dog water. Because it's funny. Hot dog water. Funny.
I'm going to do that whenever we actually sell these.
Yeah. Funny. All right. Let's get into our first opinion.
Shalom. So I don't know why this took me 30 years of the existence to discover. But about 5 minutes ago, I dipped like a salty, hot, baked russet potato and some yellow mustard. And it was probably the best snack I've ever had in the moment. Hashtag drunk food. Blessed. See y'all later. Bye.
What is their accent? I love it.
I don't know.
It sounds hard. It sounds hardened.
What do you mean?
It's like a hardened accent. Like it was hardened by like an industrial area and snow.
True Grit.
Like True Grit. Like they're from either like a Montana or like Pittsburgh. But they're the kind of the same things to me. It's just like harder than here.
Okay.
You know, is what it sounded like.
Sounds good.
Hot salty potato, yellow mustard.
Yum.
You know what this is?
Give me that.
Anytime. controversial statement. Anytime one culture sort of like diffuses. What is that? Is that a big moker cycle? Anytime one culture sort of diffuses across many country lines, some weird things kind of happen to it, and it can sort of dilute itself in a way. Okay. So you take like a German potato salad with like nice whole grain mustard and, you know, other aromatics and things folded in. Like potatoes and mustard is a thing that makes sense.
Sure. Right?
It feels very Germanic to me.
Okay.
And then you travel that across the ocean and you just end up eating the baked potato with just yellow mustard on it.
It's ingredients for something greater than it can be.
True.
Okay.
You know, or like if like spaghetti Napolitan in,
sure,
in Japan, right? You take Napolitan, Neapolitan spaghetti, right? And then that turns into like ketchup, spaghetti, and hot dogs.
Yes.
You know, a delightful dish in its own right. Ditto with this, you know, russet potato and yellow mustard. Potatoes are a completely blank slate. You get acid, salt, and you get that mustard funk. There's nothing wrong with that.
Nope. This,
you know,
sounds
what I mean?
Good.
But it is a bit of an uncanny valley dilution of something that has existed.
I don't think food can be in the uncanny valley.
I think it can.
I think
you ever see the hot dogs that are sliced to look like octopuses?
That's not uncanny valley. That's cute af.
Dude, that's uncanny valley.
Dude,
I don't
that's
like that.
Cute af.
Or they make like the rice balls that look like a bear.
Okay, adore Josh, you just don't like cute things.
I don't like cute things. I'm not a very kawaii person.
I love cute things.
Meggie laughs.
Hi, my name's Cece. Hi, Josh and Nicole.
Hi, Cece.
Hey.
So my food hot take is that the best all-purpose breaded cheese to keep in your refrigerator is Monterey Jack. I'm not saying it's the best cheese for every application. I'm saying it's the best all-rounder that you could possibly keep for, you know, the average person who's not going to have like 30 different cheeses.
You go ahead. You're a big Monterey Jack fan. So.
I'm a big fan of Monterey Jack because, okay, so cheddar, right? It can be a little bit too sharp, even
crystalline,
a mild cheddar.
Yeah, even the crystalline compound is just not for meltage.
That's what I'm saying. Mozzarella, you don't get enough sometimes. Sometimes the texture of mozzarella, if you're using
rubbery.
It for a non-traditional mozzarella, you know, application, it's a bit rubbery.
Yeah.
To me, Monterey Jack, it's like a perfect neutral cheese.
It's a good all-purpose cheese when you're cooking. I think whenever you want like cheese pull, I think whenever you want a touch of saltiness, a touch of creaminess, I think Monterey Jack is a great thing to throw in there in addition to other cheeses.
It's non-offensive. It's like a very mild flavor profile.
Yeah.
Also, even like the color, right? Not like a yellow cheddar. It's just, it's going to melt white.
Pure
it's going to be
white,
you know, neutral color palette. I agree with this. And I often do stock Monterey Jack. You use it in quesadillas.
Really good in quesadillas.
I've done it in a pinch on chicken parm and it works just fine.
Oh, really? Okay.
Last night I made a chicken parm, but the only thing I had was like, Julia bought like a fancy cheese. She bought like a young manchego. And I just used like a young manchego on my chicken parm. Pretty bad.
I'm not surprised.
Pretty bad. Does not. It just melts.
You use
it just breaks immediately.
Wait, but like you put like Parmesan cheese over the mozzarella, right?
Yeah, yeah. But I tried to use the manchego as a sub for the mozz.
That's your problem.
That's it. I wasn't going to walk to the store. Also, it was already like a healthy baked, you know, version. We didn't like fry it. So it was like, whatever. Might as well.
Fair.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, Monterey Jack.
Monterey Jack would have saved me in that pinch. Good opinion, Cece.
Hi, I've been listening to you since the episode is Cereal Soup.
Aww.
In my opinion, it's that the original Pringles with coconut milk whipped cream is the bomb. Thanks for being here so I can listen to you every night. Love you guys.
Yeah, bye. Oh my God.
I'm unwell.
Wait, they know the coconut milk whipped cream is better than the original whipped cream.
It's not better, but it's a good substitute.
I think it's better, and the almond milk is way worse.
Oh, wait, there's almond?
Yeah, they have
cream?
An almond milk whipped cream, and it comes out broken like half the time.
Oh, no.
There's not enough guar gum in the world.
I will say coconut whipped cream does serve its purpose, and it's really good. It's a good sub, but it's not the same. But you're pairing it with classic Pringles?
Yes.
Honestly?
That's a great combination.
Stuff. That's a really good combination.
I want it like a great, if you, the most common dessert that Julie and I eat is like, we just have a can of whipped cream. We both are nostalgic for the canned stuff. We've tried like batching our own sort of, you know, whipped cream. No, I need the can.
It's not the same.
We'll just like cut up fruit, maybe macerate it a little bit with some sugar or whatever herbs we have on hand.
Mm-hmm.
And then we'll take something crunchy and put it on top, graham cracker, whatever, cereal, whatever. The best is potato chips. The best. A little bit of salty.
Wow.
A little bit of salty, even some corn chips sometimes.
So
get
adventurous.
That little bootleg mango corn
you
chips and whipped
so
cream.
You're so crazy.
You know, it's a little crazy. Wild at night, you know?
Okay.
This is a great
That's
opinion.
Personal. Next opinion.
Hi, Josh and Nicole. My name is Grant, and I'm from Wisconsin.
Love the
but
name Grant.
That doesn't really matter because my hot take isn't about bratwurst or some mayo-filled party casserole.
Go Badgers.
My take is about coffee.
Ooh.
Iced coffee, actually,
ooh.
And that instant coffee makes better iced coffee than any other method. Love the show, don't you know? Okay, there's the Wisconsin part.
Oh, yeah. Bye. Oh, yeah, don't you know? I saw Fargo like 4 times. Mike Yanagida. Yeah.
Francis McDormand?
Yeah.
She's incredible in it, man.
One of my favorites.
William H. Macy?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Great. I watched that movie recently as well.
I loved Fargo.
Oh, I love me some Fargo.
I would watch it again. It's pretty good.
That was a good accent. I want to give you your flowers. I didn't feel like doing the full poll and trying it myself. I just don't have the energy. I don't have that energy right now. But I want you to know that you did a really great job.
Yeah. yeah. I mean, what are we talking about?
Instant coffee. The world runs on instant coffee.
So good.
So many places. People talk about like coffee culture elsewhere. They're like, oh, if you ever go to Turkey and they pull the coffee this way. And blah,
yeah,
blah,
Turkish
blah.
Coffee. It's good.
It's like, yeah. Or Vietnam, even talking about the cafe culture in France, yada, yada. And like, that's all true. But also, every single place also just has buckets of instant Nescafé.
I love instant coffee. My mom used to be an instant coffee lady, and it like definitely skewed me to like it too, but not that much.
And you can control the amount of
it's fun
liquid, and then you can control how strong it is, which technology, for iced coffee, something that's getting diluted, one of the reasons it's tough, if you are at home and you only have like a drip coffee maker like I do, and you want iced coffee.
You don't have an espresso machine?
No. I don't like espresso like that. And I don't like milky coffee drinks really.
Got it.
I love American drip coffee. It's just my favorite.
I hate drip coffee.
Really?
Ugh.
I know, like my Italian like roommates used to call it just dirty water.
Yeah,
and I think
like
they're right.
Espresso.
No, I'm a fan of just watery drip coffee.
That's okay.
It reminds me of being in like diners, you know.
Like being in diners?
I love diners. Yeah.
I'm okay with diners.
I love like a good American diner cup of coffee.
I want to feel like I'm in Italy.
But like the instant coffee, you can control the amount of water in it. So that way, put it on ice, shake it, the water naturally dilutes it. And I agree with that. And also, you're changing the nature of the coffee.
Dalgona coffee? Couldn't be done without instant, right?
Couldn't be done without instant coffee. Instant coffee is a revelation, and also caffeine is just a drug, and the American government needs to
regulate
give us more. The opposite. They need to give us more unregulated stimulants. I want a chew cut.
Oh my God.
I want a chew cut. Anybody out there who can get me some cut?
Oh my God.
I would like to chew it.
That is
all day.
That's the beetle leaf.
I think it's its own thing. The beetle nut. I believe the beetle nut
is
like
beetle nut.
Is got beetle nut? Wait, look it up. I know kot is really popular in like Yemen. When I was in Israel, I was drinking a bunch of kot juice, and it was great.
I don't know.
I think kot is just like its own like leaf, and it's delicious.
Oh, got it.
Also, QAT can be played in Scrabble, one of the few.
Oh my God!
Q Somebody without
get this
U
guy
words.
A Scrabble.
God, I'm going to play
just
so
play
many
Scrabble
games of Scrabble
online
tonight.
with people, with listeners.
I don't know, man. It's, I don't know. It seems vulnerable. On that note, is that it? Is that the end of the podcast? Should we do one more?
Let's do one more.
Maggie, can we do one more?
Yeah.
Maggie, do we have room for one more?
Hi, I am currently listening to the episode called What's the Best Office Snack? And Josh just said the words crawfish are just okay. So I wanted to let you know that I'm scared for your life because the Cajuns are going to come for you. But
what?
Since you are familiar with boils, what are your favorite non-traditional items to throw in a crawfish boil? We like pineapple, also eggs because they soak up all the spices.
Eggs.
One thing that did not work was grapes. Ugh. That was gross. Okay, bye.
Hey, man.
Wait. What did I do? What did I do that the Cajuns are coming for me?
You said crawfish is just all right.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's like...
I like it whenever I go to the seafood boil places and then they put ramen in it.
I don't know that I've ever had that.
Really? Am I imagining it?
I don't know.
I've had it once. Maybe I did it myself. Maybe they did it for me.
No, that sounds awesome.
It was good.
Oh my God.
Yeah. After you finish, they just put it and then they shake the bag and then you eat the bag, eat it with the juices of the bag.
Holy smokes.
Yeah.
I don't know that I've ever had anything like non-traditional in seafood boil, but the possibilities are endless because it's such like an intoxicating elixir.
Imagine it with like curly ramen nudes, like Korean ramen nudes.
Yeah, that literally sounds like the ideal.
Yeah.
Or like, oh my God, if you just took like frozen dumplings, because now I'm imagining this like hot pot.
Oh, yeah.
But with the Cajun spices, I want to put fish balls in there.
Yeah.
You ever go to hot pot and you get the fish balls that are filled with like, do you not get fish balls at all?
No.
Do you ever go to hot pot?
Well, like twice.
We should go.
Okay. We have so many plans that you promised to do, but you never do them.
I hurt my back and then I got strep throat. And you have Shabbat and everybody has robust social lives.
Sounds like excuses, and we can never do anything. Josh, if I was important, you would.
Will you cancel your plans for me?
I have before in the past. Not
when?
I will never cancel a baby shower or a Brit Mila, but I will cancel other things.
You lied about a Brit Mila though. You lied.
That was to be on camera with you.
I don't go, you lied for content. You lied for clout. That makes it okay.
Thank you so much for listening to A Hot Dog Is a Sandwich. We got new audio-only episodes on Wednesdays and video versions here on YouTube every Sunday.
I throw more hard-boiled eggs into random things. I think that's the thing I believe in.
I had a hard-boiled egg today.
What'd you eat it with?
Salt and pepper.
Real imaginative, Nicole. All right. For more Mythical Kitchen, check us out on YouTube. We launch new videos everywhere. We're all doing that. Stuff out there. They don't care.
If you want to be featured on Opinions Like Castles, give us a ring and leave a quick message at 833-DOG-POD-1. The number again is 833-DOG-POD-1.
If you want to be featured on Opinions Like Castles, dial 1-833-DOG-POD-1.
For more Mythical Kitchen, check out our other videos. We launch new episodes every week. We will see you next time.
We got new episodes coming out audio only on Wednesday. Videos drop on Sunday.
We'll see you next time.
Rate us 5 stars or we'll do bad things to other people.
False.